Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are back in studio today. Brother Harold and I, myself, Brother Harold Copeland and Carnita Smith, and we are excited about starting a new, still under the umbrella of discipleship, but Brother Harold is going to introduce to us a new series, Salvation by Grace, and this is an exciting message that we as believers in Christ Jesus want to hold on to, grab a hold to, and realize the importance of salvation by grace. God puts it this way in his word. God's assurance, his word, puts it this way. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by words, so that no one can boast. Now that's out of Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. Receiving Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, who indwells in every believer. This is called regeneration or the new birth. Brother Harold will talk about that in his lesson. Listen to what it says in Scripture. And I like to say, for it is written, he who has the Son has life. And that's S-O-N, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I wrote these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this is written according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Now, I don't want to get in the way of my co-host, Brother Harold Copeland, and he will take us through scriptures as he has done in the past in this wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focus is salvation by grace. Brother Harold?
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, let us know, to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that is a scripture that God gave me to take everywhere I go. And I just love that passage. Hello, everybody. God bless you. Welcome. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And always along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith. You got it. You got it. We are in the studio together again. And we'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it's always an honor and a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth. I like that word, truth. There's so many lies out there in the atmosphere. And the devil would try to bombard our minds with lies. So we come together concerning the truth of the word of God. And Jesus tells us, he said, if you abide in my word abide in you, you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that shall make you free. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for your life. But most importantly, remember, God loves you. He has a divine plan for your life. And every time you open your heart and receive the word of God, God is supernaturally downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit that will take you to your divine destiny, and you too shall fulfill God's plan and call upon your life. And as was said earlier, we're still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And be patient with us, because we have a mandate to release this into the atmosphere, to release this into the hearts and the minds of God's people. So be patient with us. There's a lot of truth that's going to be released in the next couple of months. And the topic that we are on today is salvation by grace. Somebody say salvation by grace. Beautiful. It just soothes my heart to say that, salvation by grace. And this wonderful teaching, we're going to dive right on into it. And we shall start out like we always start out, reading our launch pad scripture. And under this series, our launch pad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, verses 16 through 20.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Now, the foundation of scripture that we have for this particular topic, it shows that the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit, just work together and communicate. It was already read, but we're going to read it again. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and that's the foundation of scripture for the topic, salvation by grace.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Amen. Now, before we get into the actual meat of the teaching, I want to define a couple of vocabulary words that would help us to help us interpret this salvation by grace. And the first word we want to define is salvation. And when we look at the word salvation, we find two words that are synonymous with the word salvation. And those two words would be deliverance and redemption. So salvation, deliverance, and redemption are synonymous with each other. And the definition we get is the saving of human beings from sin and its consequences. Now, that's beautiful to my heart. It is that which include death and separation from God. Now, that's the consequence for sin, death and separation from God. Amen. So that's not good. But through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God gives us this salvation. And out of the salvation, we get a justification. So we leave sin and death, step into salvation, and out of the salvation, we get what we call justification. And I love the word justification. And the definition of justification comes out of the word itself. The first four letters, just. The next two, I-F, just. I have never committed one sin. So with justification, we stand in the presence of God as believers, just as if we have never committed one sin. Now, that's a miracle. Amen. Because I know I have committed more than one sin. But because of the power of redemption, deliverance, and salvation through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, by believing in him, I am justified. And right now, stand in the presence of God just as if I haven't committed one sin. Justification. That's why I love that word. Now, we said salvation, deliverance, and redemption are synonymous. So let's get a definition of deliverance. That would be the act of liberating someone. I like liberating. And out of liberating, we get liberation. Somebody say liberation. Liberation and of being rescued. That's deliverance. And my testimony is, I really didn't need to be rescued from the devil. I needed to be rescued from myself. I needed to be rescued from my own crazy thinking, my own crazy mind. And through salvation, through deliverance, our faithful God. Somebody say faithful. Oh, yes, he's faithful. The faithfulness of our God. I was liberated, delivered from my own thinking, my own mind. I was set free. Somebody say set free. Amen. You know, the word of God says, whosoever the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. And I can speak the saying of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. So that's deliverance. And the next word was redemption. Somebody said redemption. Redemption is the deliverance of Christians from sin. I mean, that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. Amen. And when we receive this deliverance, God put us into a position. Somebody said position. A position in Christ. Glory to God. We are in Christ now. We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And God do not know us by our actions. He knows us by this position. Somebody say position. Beautiful word. We are positioned in Christ. Even though we may mess up a little bit or fall a little bit, God don't see that. He see the position in Christ, the new creation, where all things are passed away and all things are become new. And see, redemption assumes a very important position in salvation, because the sinner was in a state where human power couldn't help him or her. So I use myself. I was in a state where no human power could help me. And I definitely couldn't do it on my own. You know, Paul says in Romans 7, he says, the things I should do, I don't do. But the things I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can rescue me from the body of this death? That's what it's like. It's like a body of death. But then he say, thank God for the man Jesus Christ who loved me and gave his life for me. In redemption, Christ is our redeemer. Amen. He's the one that redeems us. There was a great Christian song that was out there. And they say, I know my Redeemer lives. Came out of the book of Job. I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. And that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's living in our hearts right now. Amen. He's living in our minds right now. He's living in our souls. He's living in us, through and through us. Our temple has become his Holy Spirit. Now, we looked at salvation, and we saw deliverance and redemption. Salvation by grace. Let's look at grace before we go into the teaching. Grace. You know, the scholars, they made it easy for us with grace, unmerited favor. If you use that on a text, that definition on a test in theology school, you're going to get a check. Unmerited favor. You know, you may have to define what unmerited means. It's unearned favor from God. Amen. Unearned favor from God. And that's because he loves us, because he loves us. Amen. And it's the love and mercy given. Somebody say give, it's a gift. The love and mercy given to us who believe by God. Because God desires, it's God's heart's desire. He desires for us to have it. Amen. And it's not because we are deserving of it. Grace is not earned. Amen. And that's the problem we're having in the church, and we're going to see that in the teaching. Grace is not earned. Grace can never be earned. Grace is not deserved. Grace can never be deserved. Grace is an attribute of God. Freely given. See, we have to emphasize that because we got too many Christians working too hard. Amen. And they're trying to work this thing out. But it's freely given to the life of a sinner when they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Once we believe, amen, we just receive by grace all that God has for us. And we don't have to rush it, because grace takes us into a rest. After we receive Jesus Christ, we are in a dispensation of rest. We join with God. God rests on the seventh day because it was finished. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And once we receive this grace, it's finished. And we just rest. And God began to do a work in us and through us with no help us. Amen. And Ephesians say that unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. How? I'm glad you asked. According to the power that worketh in us. That's grace. And let's step into the teaching. We know in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that when Jesus taught, he used parables a lot. And a parable is a short story that explains spiritual realities and spiritual truth. That's what a parable is. Notice, we have natural realities, we have natural truth. But God is not natural, God is a spirit, as in John 4. And we must operate in the spirit. He said, to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and truth, to have that fellowship with God. So a parable teaches a reality above the natural realm. A parable teaches a truth above the natural truth. Amen. As we step into the spirit. So, we are going to use one of Jesus' parables to show an individual receiving salvation by grace and an individual that's trying to receive salvation through his works. And the parable will explain how God reacted to both individuals. So let us go to Luke, the book of Dr. Luke. Luke was the only educated disciple. He was a doctor, very wise man. Dr. Luke, chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 9, but the way we're going to do this, we're going to piece it apart. So we're going to read one scripture, then we're going to elaborate, then we're going to read another scripture, and we will elaborate. So let's start out by reading Luke chapter 18, verse 9.
Luke 18, verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
Amen. So Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he's targeting them, he's setting them aside, he's getting ready to teach them about themselves. So this certain audience that he was talking to, they trusted that they were righteous, and they automatically, since they had in their mind and they made up in their mind they were righteous, they automatically despise or reject other people. they look down. They look down on everyone else. And Jesus told this parable to these people. They trusted in the things that they did. And just through the opening up and the definition we use to bring in the salvation, they were heading in the wrong road, in the wrong direction. See, we would call people like that self-righteous people. And self-righteous people are affront to God because they do not carry the Holy Spirit. They carry a religious spirit. And as we move on in the teaching, you're going to see one of the greatest religious spirits ever been seen in Scripture. And it may even bring to your mind some people that you've seen in the church. But you know what it does to me? It reminds me of myself because I used to have a religious spirit. I was a self-righteous Christian for a long time. Why? Because I didn't understand salvation by grace. I was too busy trying to work this thing out on my own that I may get some attention. So you may know somebody like that, and we're going to check ourselves and see how we grew up just a little bit. These people are self-righteous. They carry a religious spirit. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said they look down on everyone else saying, I am better than you, self-righteous and religious. Let's read verse 10.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector.
Now, we would say, you know, the scripture used the word temple, but in our day and time, we would say in our modern language that they went to church to pray. And one was a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee is a very religious person. And the word Pharisee actually means separated one, in which they separated themselves from other people. They were so religious that, in a sense, they were saved. Don't defile me. Don't you get close to me. I'm not like other men. I am better than everyone else. Now, the other man was a publican. Now, a publican is a tax collector. And they were known to be very evil, sinful people who cheated and defrauded everyone. They collected taxes by any means they could. They stuck money in their own pocket illegally. And they even paid off the Roman government to keep the Roman government off of their back. They was hated by the people, and they was hated by their peers. Verse 11.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.
Now, we need to notice who this Pharisee was praying to. if we look closely, he was actually praying to himself. Now, he may have mentioned the name God, and he may have used some of the right words, but God was not acknowledging his prayer. I'm going to say this. Notice who got the glory. He say, I got the glory. Whenever God stops getting the glory and the glory goes to another person, or somewhere else, that's when you know you got a religious spirit. That's when you know self-righteousness is in progress. God must get all the glory. God must get all the glory all the time. Can't no one take God's glory. That is stealing God's glory. God must be glorified because he deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise because he is an awesome, mighty God. If you read in the Old Testament, when somebody encountered an angel and they recognized it was an angel and they got down on their knees to worship that angel immediately told them, get up, get up, get up. No one can take his glory. He deserves the glory. He deserves all glory. And see, that's a religious spirit. When that spirit want to get some glory, I ain't like this. I don't do this. I'm not that. I'm not him. That's a self-righteous religious spirit that's trying to take away the glory of God. Amen. Now, let's look at verse 12.
I fast twice a week. I give tithe all that I possess.
Amen. See, we can see that religious spirit, that religious self-righteous spirit is all about what he did. Salvation by grace is all about what God done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And when we open our mouths to speak, that's where all the glory goes, to God and to what Jesus done. And if we get anything out of it, it's only by grace and mercy. It's only because of what Jesus done. If it wasn't for Jesus, all of us would be in hell right now. All glory and honor to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you see how ugly a religious spirit is. You see how ugly a self-righteous spirit is. And it's so religious and so self-righteous that the person that's operating in it cannot recognize it. And everyone around that individual can see that they're trying to get some self-glory. They're trying to get some self-recognition. But the devil has blinded their eyes. Amen. I fast, and we understand what fast means. You know, it actually means going without food. And he said, I give money to the church. One of those people who say, don't bother me. I live a good life. None of us are capable of living a good life. I give to charity. I give money down at the church. So the first sign of a religious self-righteous spirit is I. You know, they call it, you know, the Holy Trinity is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But you know what they call a demonic spirit? A demonic trinity? They call the demonic trinity, me, myself, and I. me, myself, and I. And if we hear me, myself, and I, and they're not repenting, and they're not confessing a wrong, and they're trying to get some glory, check it out. We have a religious spirit, a self-righteous spirit, and they are not operated in salvation by grace. And they haven't even received salvation, because salvation by grace is not just one way you receive salvation. It's the only way we can receive salvation by grace. Let's look at verse 13.
Standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen. Look where he's a sinner, and look where the glory is going. God. Amen. He's going to the glory of God and said, I need some mercy from you, because I don't have a resume or anything good to talk to you about. I need your resume. I need the resume of what you have done through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to lift me up from my low place, so that I can be one with you. Let's look at his body language. He's standing afar off. He didn't even go all the way into the church. Amen. Now I've been there before. I've been such a sinner to somebody invited me to church. Hey, let me get my life together. You know, didn't know what I was talking about, but you know, I felt unworthy going to the hall. Okay, so he was ashamed of his life. He was ashamed of the things that he had done, that he stood far off and wouldn't even look up at God, wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smoked his breath. And when the Bible talks about night in the breath in the Old Testament, many times they tore their clothes too. And it was a way of saying, it was a repentance. And what they were saying is, I'm sorry, God, for what I have done. A sign of repentance. A contrite heart. And a broken spirit comes out of Psalms 51. And God will not despise that. He will never despise that. This tax collector, sinful man that he was, he cried out to God. Hallelujah. He opened up his heart and just cried out. The word of God says, call on the Lord, and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you have not seen before. This sinner said, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Amen. And that's the song we all should be singing when we come to our God, because the word of God tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's read verse 14 and see what we can come up with.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. The publican, the tax collector, he went home justified. You know, justified? He went home just as if when he left the presence of God, he left the presence of God just as never committed a sin in his life. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say the blood of Jesus. You know that song, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood of Jesus for me. One day I was lost, and he died on that cross. I know it was the blood of Jesus. And see, that's the spirit that the tax collector left the presence of God. He was declared righteous. And we know what righteous means. Right standing with God. Right standing with God. He came in broken, but because of his humility and the way he glorified and humbled himself in the presence of God, he left righteous. Right standing in the presence of God. He was forgiven. All of his sins thrown in the sea as far as the east from the west, never to even touch. The east and west never meets. And God say, I'll put a no fishing sign. So you can't go in there and fish for those old sins. God say, I've forgiven them, and I ain't going to remember them no more. And you need to forgive them and do not remember the past. Begin to walk in your new identity in Jesus Christ. And he was forgiven. Why did he go home and right standing before God? And not that religious Pharisee. It was because the Pharisee exalted himself, saying, I am better than other people. I am not sinful. I am not like other men. While the tax collector knew he had no standing before God. He had nothing he could offer God. He was a sinful person. The Bible says Jesus didn't come to save righteous people, but sinners like me. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This tax collector humbled himself and found forgiveness and pardon in the presence of God. That's the only way we can get to it. Through humility, humbleness, going down that he may raise us up again. Now we're talking about salvation by grace. I just love it. Grace is a wonderful word. And that definition we got earlier, unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. We couldn't have earned it. Never would have been able to earn it. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17.
Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's the only way we can receive salvation by grace. It's through that one. We became a sinner through the sins, not our own sin, but through the sins of the first Adam, that one man. But on the flip side, we receive the salvation of grace that gives us right standing before God, that justifies us in the presence of God, just as if we have committed one sin through the second Adam. And we receive an abundance of grace. Do not let that word abundance, when it means abundance. It means abundance, an overflow, a running over, abundance of grace, and of the gift. It's a gift of righteousness. It's nothing we earn. That old Pharisee tried to earn, but he couldn't earn it. It's a gift. And a gift, if somebody gives you a gift, you just reach out and freely receive it. If you had to do something to earn it, it's a wage. It's a wage. They're giving you some type of wage for what you've done. It's not a gift. But a gift is freely given, and a gift is freely received. And now somebody did do the earning, and at that second Adam, that one man, Jesus Christ. And because of this, God offers you and me right standing before him as a gift. And according to the passage we read, the tithe collector found the gift of righteousness. And that gift of righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ, only comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. And this grace is only offered to one kind of person, those who humble themselves and know they have no standing before God, who cry for God's mercy. These people will find God's mercy and pardon. And this is the hour that we stop, drop, and pray. The hour of salvation. Maybe we have somebody that carries a religious spirit like I did. Carry a self-righteous spirit like I did. Maybe we had got somebody that couldn't go into church, couldn't look up at God because of their sinful ways. I was there also. And God has always anointed Minister Smith to take us to the cross and open up the door for the role of salvation. And we're going to turn it over to her right now.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a special time of this broadcast where I get excited, Brother Harold and I, that we have the blessed assurance of God that we plant seeds of life in fertile ground through the Word of God. As Minister Copeland had mentioned and shared with us on last broadcast concerning abundant life or eternal life, he said that the Word is the seed, that the ground is your heart, and that the germination is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we live from our spirit man, where the two become one. And this is what we need to get into our mindset, into our soul, to understand that mission from the heart, our mission is to open the Word of God, which is the seed, that it would settle in your heart, which is the ground, that germination, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit live and set up in the throne room of your heart, that you would be regenerated, born again, a new person. And this is the time that you need to get right with God and with yourself, that you come as humble as you know how, asking at the feet of Jesus, what do I give to you? And he will let you know. Just give yourself. Just give yourself in all humility and as best as you know how, just as the pelican, the tax collector. We come to him as humble as we know how. So we want to extend Jesus Christ to you, my brother, my sister, with a humble heart, a bowed head, and if you can, surrender your hands to him. But this is the day that God has set aside for you. And I encourage you to not procrastinate, do it later, I'll get around to it. No, this is the hour that we take care of this right now. So let's pray. Brother Harold and I will partner together. And my brothers and sisters who may be listening, please partner with us. As we always encourage you to lift up that person that may have been heavy on your heart, intercede for them. Lift them up to the Lord that they too may receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. So let's pray. Now it's my words, and as I always say, it's your heart, and God knows your heart. So let's pray. Lord God, come to you as humble as I know how right now. I come to your feet asking to come into my heart, set up in the throne room of my heart, you, your Holy Spirit, Lord. For you are my grace, you are my mercy, you are my Redeemer, and I know you are my salvation. Lord, I believe by faith what God Jesus did on the cross for me, a sinner. Thank you, Lord. He died on the cross for me. Lord, forgive me for the words that I said. My mouth is not clean. Forgive me for my thoughts that are not pure and right. And Lord, forgive me in the deeds that I know I did in the past, and I've even done some today. Lord, forgive me. You are my help, you are my guide, and you are my strength. And I put all of my faith and trust in you, O Lord. Here I am, Lord, here I am. As broken as I know how, needing you, my Savior. I trust you. My faith is anchored in you, Lord Jesus. And all I know to do is come to you. In Jesus' name I pray this day. Amen and amen. Praise ye the Lord for what you have done, and welcome to the family of faith. Welcome to the Ark of Salvation. Hallelujah. This is a day of rejoicing for what you have done. Praise the Lord. Now we encourage you, Brother Harold and I, we encourage you, Mission Heart, Mission from the Heart, to seek out a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. My Lord, when you get up, you will be a testament to the world that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. That you would seek out a small group Bible study within that church or a Sunday school class, that you would be discipled continually, that you would grow and go in grace. What a beautiful thing to do. And that you would tell somebody about what Jesus has done in and through you. We rejoice, the angels rejoice, for this is a day of rejoicing that a soul came to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of his sins. Hallelujah. Brother Harold?
Praise the Lord. And truly, this is an hour of rejoicing. Hallelujah. That the devil lost a soldier, and that soldier has come in to God's army now. Hallelujah. Into the army of righteousness. And even those that was like me, that walked in that religious spirit, that's a hard burden to carry. Because every I got to be dotted and every T got to be crossed, and it's still not good enough. So congratulations to those whose eyes was opened and they seen that, God, I'm not walking in grace, but I'm walking in my own power and in my own strength. And they received the salvation by grace, and now they have received the supernatural power, the Spirit of the living God that will empower you to greatness. He knows the plan. We don't know the plan. We just sit in a spirit of rest. No more laboring. No more carrying heavy burdens. No more being yoked up to heaviness. Now we yoked up to victory. A victory name is Jesus. And even the self-righteousness, glory to God, you have to cover your tracks and make sure ain't nobody looking and make sure you're smiling and all that's the hard burden to carry. And congratulations for stepping into the truth of this word, and stepping into freedom, stepping into the power of the Holy Ghost. And that we were trying to do in our own efforts and our own strength, now the Spirit of the living God will do it through us and in us with no help from us at all. Hallelujah. And that what God called us to do shall be, we shall be able to do it. We shall have victory over it. And we shall be able to destroy the works of the devil. Because it's no longer us, but now it's Christ. As long as we were in that religious spirit, that self-righteous spirit, it was us living. But once we surrender and recognize and surrender to Christ, we take up what Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but now it's not I. It's not I. You notice that Pharisee, he used I. But once we get up, drop that spirit and surrender to Christ, it's no more I, no more I. It's Christ. Christ become the I in us. He become our I. And so instead of saying, I did this or I did that or I did, we say Christ did it. Jesus did it. Jesus paid it all. Jesus rescued me. Jesus broke my chain. Jesus took my yoke. Jesus took my burden. Jesus set me free. And we pick up Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free. And I pray that you listen to this teaching over and over again. Well, it's a wonderful teaching. I have to go back through it and make sure I don't pick up another religious spirit. Make sure I don't pick up another self-righteous spirit. But we're going to end this teaching on this day. And we're coming back next week, and we're going to do the same thing with righteousness. We're going to teach about righteousness by grace. To God be the glory. We love you. We thank God for you. But you remember, God loves you. And today, he, by the power of the Spirit of the living God, he started to activate that plan that he has for you. And God is faithful. He will complete this work until Jesus Christ comes back. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God, the very word of God, will remain forever and ever. Have a blessed day and a glorious week and a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous month. Always remember that he shines on you. God bless you.